الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد and to continue with the explanation of al-usul al-thalatha, explanation of the three principles, the great work by Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, the explanation of Shaykh Saleh al-Fawzan hafidhahullah. And who can remember the text that we've had so far? Then last week, the part that we had last week, I'lam, or rather the part that we had last week, al-ula al-ilm. Who can remember with regard to knowledge? In discussion of the matter of knowledge, Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned some important points for us. Amongst them, he mentioned some of the Islamic rulings, three of the five Islamic rulings. Who can remember the five Islamic rulings? The five Islamic rulings which cover everything. Everything will have a ruling in Islam, and these are five rulings. Everything will fall under these five rulings. Who can remember what these five are? Mentioned the wajib, the obligatory, he mentioned the mustahab, the recommended, he mentioned the mubah, that which is permissible, and he didn't mention that the remaining two, the makruh, that which is disliked, and that which is haram, that which is forbidden. Who can remember a very basic definition, as given by the Shaykh, the basic definition of what is wajib? How is the wajib, the obligation, defined? It's defined in terms of the person who does or doesn't do it. Who can remember the definition of the wajib? That the wajib is that which person who does it is rewarded. And the person who abandons it, the person who leaves it, then he is punished. Obviously meaning he is liable to punishment. Don't say he's definitely punished. He is liable to punishment. So the person who does it, the obligatory, the wajib, then he is rewarded. The person who leaves it is punished. What about the mustahab, the definition of the mustahab? Yeah. Mustahab being that which if a person does it, then he is rewarded for doing it. If he leaves it, then he is not punished for leaving it. What about the mubah? Mubah. What's the definition of that? The one who does that which is mubah, he is not rewarded for doing it. And the one who leaves it is not punished for leaving it. And the makruh, even though we didn't cover it in the lesson, but we need to know what's makruh, that which is makruh, definition. Makruh, being that which a person leaves it, obviously all of these being connected, the person does it correctly, does it sincerely for Allah's sake, and so on. So the basic definition of makruh is that which a person does it. Makruh, that is that the person does it, then he's punished. Well, if the person leaves it, he's not punished. The person does it, then the opposite. And the haram, that which is haram, the definition of the haram. Rather, if the person is makruh, being if the person does it, then he's not liable for punishment. But if he leaves it, he is rewarded. And the haram, definition of haram. Yeah. If a person does it, that which is haram, then he's punished. If the person leaves it, then he's rewarded. The author, Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, he mentions here that there are four matters which is obligatory to learn. The first of them he mentioned was al-ilm, knowledge. And he mentioned that ilm, knowledge, only comes about through a certain process. It doesn't come about just by sitting and hoping. That a person to attain this ilm, which everyone says that we would want to attain ilm, not to remain as we are, we want to increase in ilm. What is this process which is necessary to attain it? Process, the actual, the path to actually attain it. Mentioned at ta'allum, learning. What is necessary to reach knowledge is at ta'allum, learning. Someone may think this is fairly obvious, isn't it? But these are important points that in practice, a person, we may know these points, but in practice we may fall short. We may miss out on some of this in our actual action and practice. So to acquire knowledge, ilm, you need to go through the process of ta'allum, acquiring knowledge, learning. And then the Shaykh mentioned this process at ta'allum, learning, it necessitates and requires five things. The Shaykh mentioned it requires ayna'ya, care and attention, diligence, care and attention, inaya. It requires juhud, it requires making effort, it requires waqt, giving time to it, it requires fahm, understanding, and it requires hudur al-qalb, the truth that the heart is present. I mean, in concentration, that you're concentrated upon the matter that you're learning. Shaykh al-Fawzan commented that these four matters that the author is about to introduce here, that they are called masail. These matters could have been called any sort, they could have been called topics, they could have been called subjects, any sort of thing they could have been called. They were called masail. Who can remember, Shaykh al-Fawzan made a point here, the meaning of masail, and why they are called masail. Who can remember that? What is the meaning of masail? And why are these matters called masail? They are called masail, which is a plural of mas'ala, which means questions. Therefore, they're called four questions. And Shaykh al-Fawzan made a point here. They're called questions. These topics, they're actually topics and matters to study, subjects. They're called questions because they are matters which are so important that it is befitting that they should be asked about. You should ask about them and find out knowledge about them. So the first of these four matters, obviously all of this was being the introductory part of the book, before getting into the actual three principles of the main text. So we're dealing with this initial matter here, which is these four matters which we need to learn. The first of them being al-ilm. Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that this knowledge here, because there are many different branches of knowledge, that this ilm, what is the knowledge referred to here? You can remember what's the knowledge referred to here. Al-ilm al-shari, what's referred to here is al-ilm al-shari. It's not knowledge of geography, it's not knowledge of present day events, it's knowledge al-ilm al-shari, legislative knowledge. This knowledge that's been referred to here, which the author defines as being, as we'll see in today's lesson, inshallah, it's broken down and explained as being knowledge about Allah, about His religion, and about His Prophet. Which category does this knowledge, which category of which Islamic ruling does this knowledge carry? All those five categories we had earlier on, this knowledge here that's been referred to, which category does it fall under? Yeah, it falls under the wajib. It's not something that a person, you know, if they feel like it and they think, oh, I've got, you know, inclination towards this, I think I'll learn that one. But this is wajib, obligatory. If a person does it, he'll be rewarded. If a person doesn't, if a person leaves it, abandons it, he'll be sinful. Sheikh Fawzan made a distinction that there are two types of, not just knowledge, one is knowledge, and the rest of the duties as well, there are two types of duty, which are obligatory. One type of wajib and a second type of wajib. Who can remember the first of these types of wajib? The first of them being, yeah, al-wajib al-ayni, which is an obligation upon everyone. Male and female, free and slave, rich and poor, all individuals from the Muslims have to learn it. And it's not sufficient that somebody says, well, majority of people in my community, they have this knowledge, so therefore I don't need to learn it. No, it's obligatory upon you as well, all of us. How did Sheikh al-Fawzan summarize this type of knowledge, summarize a definition for this type of knowledge, that knowledge which is obligatory, because we need to distinguish knowledge which is obligatory upon me and you and everyone. We need to realize what that knowledge is, because therefore we can carry out our duty, inshallah, of acquiring that knowledge. It's a duty upon all of us. Then we need to be able to distinguish and know what is this knowledge. How did Sheikh al-Fawzan distinguish this type of knowledge with a brief definition? It is that which... He defined it as being that which the religion will not be correctly established except with it. And that which is essential for you and me and everyone to establish his religion. Without that knowledge, your religion will not be correctly established. And Sheikh al-Fawzan gave examples of that. He mentioned, for example, the pillars of Islam, the Shahadatain, and the remainder of the pillars, the prayer. The pillars of the prayer, for example, and then the duties within the prayer, the conditions of the prayer, the pillars of the prayer, the obligations of the prayer, and so on. Sheikh al-Fawzan mentioned also that with regard to the first of the pillars of Islam, the Shahadatain, the testification that man has the right to worship except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, he mentioned that study of its meaning is what? What is it called? Study of the meaning of the Shahada. When we are studying the meaning of the Shahada, what do we study? What will we be studying in that case? Aqidah. Aqidah, the meaning of the Shahada, the meaning of none has the right to worship except Allah. The meaning of Muhammad is a messenger of Allah, then you're studying Aqidah. The details of that, you're studying Aqidah. And the second category, we mentioned the first category of obligatory knowledge or obligatory actions, is al-wajib al-ayni, the obligation upon every individual. What's the second category? That which is not obligatory upon every individual. Yeah, al-wajib al-kifayi, the communal duty. That which is a duty upon the Muslim community, it's obligatory that some people carry it out, and if they carry it out, then the obligation falls away from the rest of them. The scholars usually think of an example, for example, the janazah prayer, the funeral prayer. If a Muslim dies, then it's obligatory upon the Muslim community to die, to pray janazah over him. So if they do so, if some of them do so, then the obligation falls away from the rest. But if nobody did so, if a Muslim died, nobody prayed over him, just left him, then they would all be sinful. And Sheikh al-Fawzan also mentioned about the matter of worldly knowledge, knowledge of engineering and scientific matters and so on. Which category did the Sheikh mention this falls under? Sheikh Fawzan mentioned that it's not obligatory knowledge, rather it is mubah, it's permissible knowledge. It's permissible knowledge. And he mentioned, and there may be some parts of it where the Muslims have a need of a certain part of it. There's a need and a requirement in the Muslim community for that branch of worldly knowledge, then that can become an obligation upon certain individuals who are able to carry that out. Now, then to continue, then the author, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, he continued, having already just said, أنه يجب علينا تعلم أربع مسائل, that it is obligatory upon us to learn four matters. الأولى العلم. The first of them, the first of these four, is knowledge. And he explains, and goes on to explain what is knowledge, what is العلم. He said, وهو معرفة الله ومعرفة نبيه ومعرفة دين الإسلام بالأدلة. First is knowledge, and it is knowledge and awareness of Allah, and knowledge of His Prophet, and knowledge of the religion of Islam with the proofs. So he begins, and the explanation I've got in front of me is page 21 of the Lebanese edition, on your edition, page 17. So he brings the saying of the author, وَهُوَ مَعْرِفَةُ اللَّهِ وَمَعْرِفَةُ النَّبِيِّينَ. And it is knowledge and awareness of Allah and knowledge of His Prophet. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation of this, he's saying, وَهُوَ مَعْرِفَةُ اللَّهِ. He's saying, and it is knowledge and awareness of Allah. Shaykh al-Fawzan commented, how does the servant come to have knowledge and awareness of his Lord? He raises the question, how can this be attained? How can a servant come to have knowledge and awareness of his Lord? Then he answers the question. He knows of him بِآيَاتِهِ وَمَخْلُقَاتِهِ. He comes to know of him through his signs and his created things. So from his signs, from his ayat, is the night and the day. And from those things which he has created is ash-shamsu wal-qamar, the sun and the moon, as will be explained, insha'Allah. As will be explained later on, insha'Allah. He knows of Allah by means of his signs within the creation, his ayat al-kawniyah. He knows of his Lord, of Allah, through his ayat al-kawniyah, through his signs within the creation, and his ayat al-qur'aniyah, and the ayahs of his Qur'an. Both these types of ayahs, both these types of signs, the signs which Allah has placed in the creation, and the ayat, which are the ayahs of the Book of Allah. If he recites the Qur'an, then he knows that Allah, the Perfect and Most High, He is the one who created the heavens and the earth, and that He is the one who made subservient whatever is within the heavens and the earth, and that He is the one who gives life and gives death, and that He has full ability over everything, and that He is Ar-Rahman, the extremely merciful one, Ar-Rahim, the one who bestows mercy. So the Qur'an provides knowledge and awareness of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, and that He is the one who bestowed all favors upon us, and that He is the one who created us and gives us provision. So if you recite the Qur'an, then you will know your Lord, the Perfect and Most High, by way of His names and His attributes and his actions. بِأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ وَأَفْعَالِهِ. So if you read the Quran, you'll come to know about your Lord, your Rabb. He the Perfect and Most High. By means of his names, his asma, and his sifat, his attributes, and his af'al, his actions. And if you look into the creation, into the kawn, then you will know and be aware of your Lord, the Perfect and Most High. That he is the one who created this creation, and who made this creation subservient, and who caused it to proceed by his wisdom, his hikmah, and his knowledge, his own, he the Perfect and Most High. This is al-ilmu billah, this is knowledge of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Shaykh Rozan mentions the two types of ayat, two types of sign, by which a servant can become aware and have knowledge of his Lord. The sign of the ayat, which are the eyes of the Qur'an, by his reading the eyes of the Qur'an, and by his looking into the signs, the ayat, which Allah has placed within the creation, the created things that he has made. Then he moves on to the second part, the second phrase, وَمَعْرِفَةُ نَبِيِّهِ, and knowledge. So this knowledge, al-ilm, which is knowledge and awareness of Allah, and knowledge of his Prophet. Shaykh Rozan said, وَمَعْرِفَةُ نَبِيِّهِ, and knowledge of his Prophet. He's saying, and knowledge of his Prophet. Shaykh Rozan explained, he is Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he was the muballigh, he was the one who conveyed the message from Allah the Mighty and Majestic. He is al-wasita, he is the intermediary between us and between Allah the Mighty and Majestic with regard to conveying the message. And just a very important side point here, which some of the people of knowledge make, that the saying of the people, the sun of this matter here, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the intermediary between us and Allah, then the saying of the people, the sunnah, is greatly different here to the saying of the Sufis, the saying of the extreme Sufis and the grave worshippers, the saying is very different. And with regard to the people, the sunnah, then we say that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an intermediary between us and Allah with regard to conveying the revelation. But with regard to worship, there's no intermediary between us and Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not intermediary. We don't take him as intermediary between us and Allah. Whereas the saying of the Sufis and their like is the opposite. That they say with regard to revelation, they claim that they get revelation, that our sheikhs get revelation direct to their hearts. From Allah, direct to the hearts of our sheikhs, they say. With no intermediary. Whereas with regard to worship, they take the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as intermediary. And they say we worship him, we make requests and worship. We direct it towards him to take to Allah. Opposite to the saying of the people of the Sunnah. That's just a side point which some of the people of knowledge make about this matter of the wasita. But the saying of the people of the Sunnah is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a wasita, is an intermediary between us and Allah with regard to conveying the revelation. With regard to worship between us and Allah. We worship Allah Most High directly. Then, back to what Shaykh Rozan said, so he is the intermediary between us and Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, with regard to tabligh, with regard to conveying a message. So therefore, it is essential that you know him. I mean, because of that fact, it's essential you know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have knowledge and awareness of him. It is essential that you know of him. You know who he is, and you know his lineage, his nasab, and you know his city, his balad, and you know that which he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came with. That you know how the revelation first came to him, and how he established the call to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. in Mecca and in Al-Madina. That you know the seerah, the life history of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if it is in abridged form. Even if you know it in abridged form only. And then Shaykh Razan mentions, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Muhammad, that is, the son of Abdullah, the son of Abdul Muttalib, the son of Hashim, the son of Abd Manaf, all the way to the end of the noble prophetic lineage, which goes all the way back to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. And you know how he lived before he was raised as a prophet, before the Bi'tha. You know about his life, how he lived before he was raised as a prophet. And how the revelation, the wahi, came to him from Allah the Mighty and Majestic. And what did he, alayhi salatu wasalam, do after he's been raised as a prophet? You know that through study of his seerah, of his life, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it is not befitting for the Muslim that he should be ignorant of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For how can you follow a person when you do not have knowledge of him? This cannot be comprehended. How can you do ittiba, following, I mean, the duty which is upon us to follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Shaykh raised the question, how can you follow a person when you do not have knowledge of him? This cannot be comprehended. Then the saying of the author in the main text, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, وَمَعْرِفَةُ دِينِ الْإِسْلَامِ, and awareness and knowledge of the religion of Islam. That ilm, knowledge is, it's knowledge that's been referred to here, is knowledge and awareness of Allah and knowledge of His Prophet and knowledge of the religion of Islam. Shaykh al-Fawzan commented, he's saying, مَعْرِفَةُ دِينِ الْإِسْلَامِ, knowledge of the religion of Islam. He said, which is the deen, the religion of this Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, it is the religion of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, which He commanded His servants with, and which He commanded you to follow. And you are required to follow it. So you must have knowledge and awareness of this deen, of this religion. And Islam is the religion of all of the messengers, the Rasul. Every messenger, all of the messengers, their religion was Islam, with the general meaning. And Shaykh Razan, he explains here that the word Islam has a general meaning and a specific meaning. So with the general meaning, Islam is the religion of all of the messengers. He said, so everyone who followed a messenger from the messengers, then he is a Muslim. One who submits in Islam to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. One who submitted to him, and one who singled him out with all worship. This is Islam with the general meaning that it is the religion of all of the messengers. So Islam is, and then he gives the extremely important definition of Islam, which we've had before, but it's important that we keep hearing this, the like of this, because it's important. So obviously, indeed, the like of these days, and people who don't know, they start defining Islam, and they say Islam means peace. As it becomes the people's mind, that's what the word Islam, the religion of Islam, what does it mean? It means peace. Jesus, we're peace, we're peaceful people. That's the meaning of our religion. So to correct this then, we see the like of the definition of Shaykh Fawzan quotes here. He said, so Islam is al-Islam huwa al-Istislam lillah bit-tawheed wal-inqiyadu lahu bit-ta'a wal-khulus min al-shirki wa ahlihi. That Islam is to submit to Allah with tawheed and to yield or comply to Him with obedience and remaining free of shirk and his people. That is the definition of Islam, our religion, which is not Islam. That the Shaykh said in the general sense. Then he said, that is was the religion of all of the prophets. Then he said, as for Islam with the ma'na al-khas, with the specific meaning, and what's referred to in the text here, when we're told here, awareness of the religion of Islam, what does that mean? So he said, as for Islam with its specific meaning, then it is that which Allah sent His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with. The specific religion with all its details which were sent to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not the religious laws that were sent before, but the specifics that were sent to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's Islam with specific meaning. So he said, as for Islam with its specific meaning, then it is that which Allah sent His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with. Since after the sending of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then there is no religion except for his religion, alayhi salatu wasalam. And Islam is confined to following him, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So it is not possible for a Jew to now say, I am a Muslim, or a Christian to say, I am a Muslim, after the sending of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, if he does not follow him. So Islam, after the sending of the Prophet, is following him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He the Most High said, and he quotes the ayah, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِئُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ Surah Al-Imran, the third surah, ayah 31, with the explanation, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told to read the address, say, if you people truly love Allah, then follow me. Then Allah will love you. The Fawzan said, this is Islam, with its general meaning and with its specific meaning. The first meaning that Shaykh gave, where he gave the definition, is applied to the religion that all of the prophets were upon. And now the Islam here, that we have with the specific meaning, is the same thing, except that which religion which was sent to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the specific details that were sent to him, not even to prophets before. In the religion which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came in. After his sending, Islam is restricted to being following him. Then the saying of the author, rahmahullah, comes bil-adilla, with the proofs. With the proofs. So the first matter here is knowledge, which is knowledge and awareness of Allah and of His Prophet and of the religion of Islam with the proofs. Shaykh al-Fawzan commented upon this by saying, he's saying bil-adilla, with the proofs. He said, la bil-taqleed. Not due to taqleed, blind following, but rather with the proofs from the Quran and from the Sunnah. This is ilm, this is knowledge. And he gives a very famous, or a few famous lines of poetry. He said, Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned defining knowledge, what is true knowledge. He said, Ibn al-Qayyim said, in al-Kafiyat al-Shafiyah, the famous poem, العلم قال الله قال رسوله قال الصحابة هم أولو الإرفان ما العلم نسبك للخلاف سفاهة بين الرسول وبين رأي فلان You'll find some different wordings of this in different places. But this is one of the basic wordings. Al-ilmu qala Allahu qala Rasuluhu. Knowledge is Allah said, His Prophet said. Qala as-sahabatu hum ulul irfani. The companions said, they are the possessors of knowledge and awareness. Mal-ilmu nasbuka bil-khilafi safahatan. Knowledge is not that you foolishly raise up a disagreement بين الرسول وبين رأي فلان, between the messenger and the opinion of so-and-so. And this is something that we are in extreme need of, the like of this. But sometimes we forget, or many of us forget, what is ilm, what is knowledge. Knowledge is not fulan said or fulan said. This is what is knowledge. Knowledge is that which Allah said, that which His messenger said, the companions said. That is what is ilm. And knowledge is not what is commonly found amongst us these days. And when someone is faced with knowledge, they say, but Sheikh so-and-so says something different. I have authentic hadiths quoted, and they say, but Sheikh so-and-so says something different. So we need to be aware of the like of this matter here, that knowledge is Allah said, His Prophet, His Messenger said, the companions said. They were the possessors of knowledge and awareness. Knowledge is not that you foolishly raise up a disagreement between the messenger and the opinion of so-and-so. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan continued, this is what is ilm, what is knowledge. Knowledge is the knowledge contained in the kitab, in the book, and in the sunnah. As for the sayings of the ulama, this is the matter where many people get wrong understanding or wrong practice, Shaykh al-Fawzan said, as for the sayings of the ulama, the scholars, then they only explain and clarify the speech of Allah and the speech of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they may contain, or some of them may contain, a mistake. And the adillah, the proofs, are not the speech of the ulama. Al-adillatu laysa kalam al-ulama. The proofs, if someone asks you for a dalil, there's no use quoting and saying this scholar, as the Shaykh said. Proofs are not the speech of the ulama. Rather, the adillah, the proofs, are the ayahs of the Quran and the prophetic ahadith. As for the speech of the ulama, the scholars, then it explains and clarifies that. Except it is not a proof in itself. This is the first matter. It's the first mas'ala, the first question, the first matter. And it is the foundation. The Shaykh, rahimahullah, began with it because it is the foundation. And one should begin with aqidah, creed and belief, and with the foundation in learning and in teaching and in calling to Allah the Mighty and Majestic. Aqidah, creed and belief should be begun with because it is the fundamental basis and it is the foundation. Then, just to move on, I mentioned this as the last point today, inshaAllah, he mentions the second matter. So the first matter was al-ilm, knowledge. And he brings it's a chapter heading here, a title here, which is not from my book, al-amalu bil-ilm, acting upon the knowledge. Then comes he brings the saying of the author, Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, al-thaniyatu, al-amalu bihi. The second is acting upon it. So this is the second of those matters which is obligatory upon us to learn. The second of the first one being knowledge, and then he defined what knowledge is, knowledge and awareness of Allah, know His Prophet, and of the religion of Islam with proofs. The second matter is acting upon it. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, his saying, al-amru bihi, action upon it, meaning upon the knowledge. Since it is not sufficient that a person teaches and learns, rather he must act upon his knowledge. So ilm, knowledge, without action, is just a proof against the person. It's just a proof against the person. So ilm, knowledge, will not be nafi', will not be beneficial, except with action. As for the person who has knowledge, and he does not act upon it, then he is one upon whom is anger. He's one of the maghdubi alayhim. He is a person, the one who has knowledge, ilm, but he does not act upon it. Then he is one upon whom is anger. Because he knows the truth, but he abandons it. Upon knowledge and insight, upon basira. He is aware of the truth, but he doesn't act upon it. He said, and the poet or the versifier says, he quotes the line of poetry, فَعَالِمٌ بِعِلْمِهِ لَمْ يَعْمَلًا مُؤَذَّبٌ مِنْ قَبْلِ عُبَّادِ الْوَثَنِ. The scholar who does not act upon his knowledge will be punished before the worshippers of idols. Shaykh Ghazan said, and this is mentioned in the noble hadith, إِنَّ مِنْ أَوَّلِ مَنْ تُسَعَرُ بِهِمُ النَّارِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَالِمٌ لَمْ يَعْمَلْ بِعِلْمِهِ. That from the first of those for whom the fire will be made to blaze on the day of resurrection will be a scholar who does not act upon his knowledge. In a footnote they mention a similar hadith to this, a similar narration, wording is not the same, there's some similarity. They say, reported by a Tirmidhi, and it is part of a long hadith, and it contains the wording, those three people will be the first of the creation for whom Allah will make the fire blaze on the day of resurrection. From a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. However, the wording of the hadith, it mentions three men for whom the fire will be the first, for whom the fire will blaze. It mentions, فَأَوَّلُ مَنْ يَدْعُ بِهِ رَجُلٌ جَمَعَ الْقُرْآنِ. But the first of these men will be a person who gathered the Qur'an. The hadith, Shaykh Albani declared it sahih, authentic, in At-Tirmidhi. As for the wording, a scholar who does not act upon his knowledge, Allahu A'lam. Someone can find that wording, it's homework, someone can find this wording anywhere, or come across it, or Allahu A'lam. No. Then Shaykh Fazan continued, knowledge is joined to action, and action is the fruit of knowledge. So knowledge without action is like a tree without fruit. A fruit tree without any fruit. There is no benefit in it. And knowledge was sent down to bring about action. Al-ilm, knowledge was sent down to bring about al-amal, action. Just as action without knowledge will be an affliction and a misguidance for each person. If a person acts without knowledge, then his action will be affliction and a burden upon the person. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, مَنْ عَمِرَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. Whoever does an action which our affair is not in accordance with, then it will be rejected. In a footnote, they mention this hadith, it was a famous hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, it was reported by Al-Bukhari, in disconnected form, as hadith 7350, and reported by Muslim, as hadith 1718, number 18 after that, from a hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, and also reported by Al-Bukhari in connected form, as hadith 2697, and Muslim, as hadith 1718, number 17 after that, from Aisha radiallahu anha, that she said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever introduces into this affair of ours that which is not from it, will have it rejected. And Shaykh Fawzan finishes up here by saying, and therefore we read in Al-Fatiha, in every rak'ah, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سورة الفاتحة, the 6th and 7th ayahs. And for this matter, these two matters that we mentioned here, a person active, who has knowledge but doesn't act upon it, or a person who acts without knowledge, as I said before this, and what he mentioned about it, this is why we read in Sutra Bhatia, or every rakah, these ayahs with the explanation, guide us upon the straight path, the path of those whom you have favoured, not those upon whom is your anger, nor those who are astray. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so Allah called those people who act without knowledge, ad-dallin, those who are astray. And those people who have knowledge, but do not act upon it, as being al-maghdubi alayhim, those upon whom is anger. So let us be attentive to them, because it is very important. Alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. That's what we'll continue. The next part, the third and the fourth matter, what follows, we'll take it next time, inshaAllah. Any points of clarification? Details of the prayer, it's not really for everyone to know all the details. Well,